In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures, and we will continue commenting on the Gospel of St. John, starting chapter 8. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. So I want to remind you that our Lord Jesus Christ was staying most of his time in Galilee, where he was brought up. But you know, he was visiting Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives frequently, at least 3 times per year in the big feasts of the Jews. And he had no place to stay in, so he used to stay in Lazarus' house with Mariam and Martha, and they were staying in Bethany, in the Mount of Olives, nearby Jerusalem. So he had to go all the way, like 1 or 2 hours walking from Bethany to Jerusalem in order to start his sermon in the temple. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple. Coming again, meaning like he used to do this, and people started to gather in the temple waiting for his talk. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Because, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes and the rulers of the temple, they were always against Christ and his teaching. And because of the love of the people, they hated him so much. So they wanted to catch him in a problem. And he was very well known by his love to the wicked people or to the adulterous people. So they wanted to put him in this tough test. He sat down, told them, then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act." So I think they were like lying, because if it is in the very act, they had to catch both partners, the woman and the man. But they ignored the man and they caught only the woman. So maybe it was, you know, like planned in order to put Christ in a problem. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. So before asking his opinion, they revised the commandment of the law. Moses said such a woman should be stoned. So they knew that Christ may not allow for stoning such a woman, so they wanted to put him in a problem, like breaking the law of Moses, so people will not follow him anymore. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. So they wanted to accuse him of breaking the law, as they used to accuse him of the Sabbath day problem, that he broke the Sabbath day before their eyes. They considered him like a law breaker. And again, now they wanted to catch him in another problem, like breaking the commandment of stoning the adulterous person. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. Christ knelt down, stooped down, and started to write on the sand by his finger. You know, they were very much angry, very much excited. They were about to stone the woman, so they are coming in a rushing way to push him towards stoning, or again stoning, breaking the law. So they wanted a quick answer. Actually, our Lord Jesus Christ teaching us that do not rush to take any decision, especially when you are pushed by people to take such a decision. So he stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. By writing on the ground with his finger, you know, Maybe he was reminding everyone that he is God, the one who wrote on the stones and gave them to Moses. So he is the lawgiver. He is the God of Moses himself. So the one who put the law, now he is now defending these weak people, these wicked people before their eyes. And though he did not hear, so he was not focusing much on their accusation against the woman, he was caring more with the woman because they caught her in this very act. So I guess, being the good shepherd, he felt how much she was hurt at that time. Maybe he knew many things, many reasons before her bad act or bad life, so he could know everything. He planned to defend her. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." So maybe he was writing again the commandment of the law in order to let everyone revise the commandments and see how many of these commandments he broke. So he is ready now to say, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone." So all people are sinning. And these people who had the stones in their hands, they also sinned before. So if there is anyone with no sin, let him stone her. You may think in another way that Christ was writing some good words to the poor woman, as if telling her, "I'm with you, I came to save you. I know what's behind this story. I know these people hated you, but they are not pure. They are sinners like you also." Maybe he was sending a good message for her. When they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone." Look to this. They came to him as a judge. "You judge it. You make the sentence." But he did not like to play the role of the judge, but he played the role of the lawyer, the one who is defending the accused person. By doing this, he is showing himself as the Savior. He came to save us. He did not come to condemn us, to catch us in sin, but he came to save us. So he is playing his role. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So he continued writing on the ground as if wanted them to think cautiously what exactly they had done. And they all know that Christ could understand and could know the feeling, the secrets of everyone, so they couldn't face him, because he was about to tell everyone what you had done wrong in your life. So they felt scared. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. This means that they all felt guilty. They all felt like standing before God. And this God, this man called Jesus Christ, he is not a man. He is the one who can know everything. He is the real judge. And if they play the role of judge, to judge this woman, he will play his role as the real judge, and he will say it out loud, their sins. When they heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest. And by mentioning beginning with the oldest, this to show that the oldest people cared more for their picture, for their image. So they feared it, that Jesus could say their history, their bad things. So they ran away from the situation. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours, has no one condemned you? So he kept writing on the ground. He kept staying with her in this tough situation. He was defending her. He was telling her, I am your good shepherd. I'm your savior. I'm responsible here. I can save you. And that's exactly what happened, that everyone left, just leaving him and her alone. So he said to her, woman, where there are those accusers of yours? So that's the role of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is pushing away all the accusers. And on top of them is the devil, who is like accusing us with many, many bad things we have done. But Christ, the best lawyer, he could save us, he could defend us, he could succeed in this case. Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. By the way, when saying woman, it's like a respectful way to deal with any woman. In their language, it's like you, lady. So it's a very polite, decent way in dealing with her. So although she was caught in the very act of adultery, still the Lord Jesus Christ was respecting her as any good woman. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. By saying, go and sin no more, this means that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that she was sinning. She was in the bad act of adultery. But he is not condemning her. He came to save, not to condemn. That's why he told her, go, but do not sin again. So that's the advice of our Lord. When he accepts our repentance, when he accepts our prayers, when he covers our sins, he has just like one advice: please don't do it again. Be careful, because if you if you neglect this salvation, if you neglect the role of the Lord paying the debt of our sin, now we will be condemned forever. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. So he showed himself as the Savior, as the Good Shepherd, as the judge, as the lawyer, as the one who can do miracles, and also the one who can forgive, and also the one who covered the sin, and also the one who can teach the real good teaching. Then he is saying, I am the light of the world. I just remind you that when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks saying, I am, he was considered as if saying, I am God, I am Jehovah. I am, that's I am. The common name of God in the Old Testament. So hearing him saying, I am this way, they knew that he's speaking like God. He is the real God. He is the one who wrote the commandments on the stones. He is the one who created everything. And he is the one who is the real light. So he's saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. As if he's answering an important question now. How can I get out of darkness? Such a woman who was caught in adultery, she needs the light of the pure life. She needs the change, the transformation. She hopes for getting out of darkness. So he's telling the secret, I'm the light, and anyone will follow me will not stay in darkness, cannot walk in darkness, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. By following Christ, this means that you love him, you believe in him, you care for his teaching, you listen carefully, and you abide yourself to the teaching, you obey all the words of the Lord, so you are following him. Now you are in the light of God. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. As you all know that according to the commandments of the law of Moses, the witness should come from like two men to witness for a man whether he is accused by any bad thing or just a pure man. So Christ here is witnessing to himself. Being God, he could do this. But if he is just a man, that's not accepted. So they said it this way, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. So when Christ witnessed to himself, that's because he is God. He's not only a man. And he knew everything. He knew where he came from, being descended from heaven, being the real Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And he is going back to heaven because he's the King of heaven and earth. So that's why he can witness to himself, because he is the truth. He is the truth giver to everyone. So his witness should be accepted. But for them, they couldn't know even where he came from and where is he going to. So he said it this way, you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. That's, you know, to explain why he made it this way with the adulterous woman. That people tend to judge each other. But Christ did not come to judge people. Christ came to save them. So, you judge according to the flesh. You may be deceived because according to the flesh you cannot know all the truth. You cannot understand the background. Maybe this poor woman was taken in an abuse relation someday and she learned how to be bad. And there are many bad people pushed her this way. Now we will stone her and just forget all what happened from these bad people to her. So they just judge by the flesh. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. So he's saying, if he judges, he is the real judge. He can say the truth. He can make the sentence, and it will be the justice. Because he is working with the Father, he is one with the Father, he knows everything. He understands the hearts of the people. He could see the past, the present, and the future. So his judgment will be always the right one. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I'm one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So he is saying, I'm witnessing to myself. I have the authority to do this. The Father also witnessing for me. If you want to consider the witness of two men, just consider the witness of the Father and the Son to the Son. Glory to God. Amen.